at least two people here, and then another person that's not a part of this church, but they listen to the radio broadcast. And I'm going to answer the question is, how do I know that Israel is God's chosen people? Now, we should have had that answer already. But let me give you some text tonight that will show you specifically God Almighty has chosen Israel to be His own. Now that sounds like it's prejudice, doesn't it? Well, let me tell you something. Not too many people say this, but God's prejudiced. God is prejudiced. He chose His people, and He chose them before any other people on the earth. And He loves them before any other people on the earth. And anyone that fools with His people is fooling with God. These irrational folks that are attacking Israel, even at this very hour, do not know that. If they do, it doesn't make any difference to them. They just want to die. I don't know how this thing's going to end up, but I promise you this, God's going to win this thing.
Amen. Yes, sir.
He's never lost a battle yet.
Amen.
Down through the years, God has won Israel's wars. I could go through dozens of wars from the Old Testament where God intervened miraculously. But God will intervene here. God's done that in modern times. And God may just intervene here miraculously and bring this thing to a screeching halt. But remember, they're fighting against the God of glory. They're not fighting against a little nation, a newborn nation in reality. They're fighting against the God of glory.
Amen.
And to fight against the God of glory is a dangerous step. Definitely so. Give me Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse number 37. And because He loved thy fathers. Now, this statement is being made to the children of Israel. And of course, Moses is making the statement. Because He loved thy fathers, therefore He chose their seed after them and brought thee out in His sight with His mighty power out of Egypt. For thou art a holy people. Now watch the words. Thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee. Watch the wording. To be a special people unto Himself above all people. Let's do this. You can see the screen. Read these last two lines with me. Above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Now, what did I tell you a few moments ago? God has chosen them above all people on the face of the earth. Now that's Bible.
Yes, sir.
That's not Brother Larry speaking. That's Bible. Prejudice has become a dirty word.
Amen.
But it's become a dirty word because the communists in the United States of America have rooted out the true meaning of the word as far as relationships between people are concerned. The fact is that God has always been prejudiced. Down through the years, God has always been prejudiced. Israel has always been God's people. And above all people that are upon the face of the earth.
Yes.
Now, you may not like Israel, but that's your problem.
Right.
And you need to get it right. You need to bow before God and say, God, forgive me.
Amen.
For having this indwelling hatred toward Israel. They are your chosen people. If you love them, I love them.
Amen.
Now, just because they made a better deal somewhere than you did, and they will, Just get used to it. Go shopping with a Jew one time. You'll learn how to shop. God's given them a special ability to make money. They finance most people in the world. The dollars you have in your pocket tonight are there because of Jews. Amazing. Amazing. But God gave them that ability. And they've done well with it through the years. The Jews are the richest people in the world. They hold more of the money than any other single people in the world. But God told them it'd be that way. Read your Bible sometime when you've got time. Just read your Bible. You're going to find out some things that you thought could not possibly be so that God has said. Let me just ask you this. How many of you people knew this verse was in the Bible? Now be honest. Okay? I appreciate your honesty. And I appreciate you others lying. That really didn't know it was there. Here's the truth of the matter. The truth of the matter is this. God put this book together, and God put this verse in the Bible so we would know without any idea otherwise whatsoever that God's people are His chosen ones, and they are above any people in the world as far as He's concerned. The time's coming when God's going to bring the Jew back to the land. They'll possess that land, and the nations of the world will bow down to the Jews. Can't you just see some of those Arabs? Oh, thank God. I'm glad God's going to let me see this. And He is. He's going to let us see this. He's going to let us see that outfit bow before some Jew. And if they don't bow before anybody else, they have to bow before the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Guess what He is? So when you have your reservations about the Jew, you remember God loves them, God chose them, and God picked them above all other nations on the face of the earth. And if He does so and He loves them, let's just love them and pray for them. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Only the Lord hath delight in thy fathers to love them, and He chose their seed after them, even you above all people, as it is this day. There it is again. How about that? How many times does God have to say it for it to be so? One time. Now here we've already seen it twice. The fact is that God has chosen them, and they're His people, and they're above all people as far as God's concerned in this world. I don't know if you like that or not, but we ought to love it. If we love the Lord Jesus, we've got to love it. If we love the book, we have to accept it and love it as truth. That's all there is to it. Next verse. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar. Now that word peculiar is not what we use it for today. He's made them a peculiar people unto Himself. Oh my, here that thing is again. Above all the nations that are upon the earth. Well, glory. Hallelujah. Now, the word peculiar means they're chosen of God. When Simon Peter uses this word about you and I, what Simon Peter is saying that God has drawn a circle around us and served notice on the devil that everything in that circle belongs to him. Yes. Beware, big guy. Don't cross the line. So that's what it means in 1 Peter. Hey, let me tell you something. That's what it means right here, too. Yes, these are God's chosen people, and God has encircled them by his power. And time again, God has used his power to deliver Israel. And he'll do it again. Why? Because they're his chosen people above all the nations on the face of the earth. It's an amazing thing to me that nations, I said this last week. Let me say it one more time. When Abraham married Keturah, there were many sons born to him after that marriage. And when those sons grew up, Abraham gave them a package under their arm and said, "Head out. Get out of here. You're not a part of the heritage that God has given to Isaac." Read your book. That's the way it happened. He gave them the knapsack, didn't he, sweetheart? And said, "Get out of town. Get away from here. This belongs to Isaac." And again, "In Isaac shall thy seed be called." But what's happened down through the years, all of those with the knapsack have come back and said, "Wait a minute, we are of the seed of Abraham." Huh? How often have you heard that recently in the news? "We are the seed of Abraham." It's not the seed of Abraham, honey. It's the seed of Isaac. But we're the seed of Abraham. That belongs to us as much as it belongs to them. Even more so. And we're going to take it. Hey, and by the way, let me just back up another little inch here. By the way, America has helped those routers to come in and take the land and squeeze Israel in. Where they're fighting right now doesn't belong to the people that are there. It belongs to Israel.
Amen.
The West Bank doesn't belong to those people. It belongs to Israel. And more than the West Bank, right on through. Actually, when God gave the land decree to Abraham, it goes all the way to the Euphrates River. Now, honey, that's a big ballpark. You could ride all day long in your Studebaker and never get from one end to the other. Isn't that a blessing? It's a big place. I'm telling you, it's a big place. Sometime when you have time, look at the lines that were drawn for the inheritance that God promised to Abraham. From the Euphrates all the way to the Mediterranean Sea. Now, if I remember correctly, it took us a while to fly that. I'm talking about more than a few minutes. So the land grant belongs to the seed of Isaac, not the seed of Abraham. Somehow, even God's people need to learn to use the phraseology properly. Because we always say Abraham's seed. Well, it is Abraham's seed, but it's through Isaac. So we need to be saying Isaac's seed and keep the thing right. Because these folks that have no insight of the scriptures in most churches need to hear you say that. It'll be a help to them, I promise you. All right, let's go to Psalm 78. Look at this. It shows the tribe of Judah. Now, after the choosing of the seed of Isaac, now there's a special tribe of the sons of Joseph that is chosen as far as the lineage of David is concerned, as far as the lineage of the Lord Jesus is concerned, and that's the tribe of Judah. Now let's look at this verse. "But chose." Now the text before that is just talking about, again, what we've already read, basically. "But chose the tribe of Judah, the Mount Zion which he loved. Two things are mentioned here. The tribe of Judah. By the way, Judah's land grant fell out, including Mount Zion, which is Jerusalem. So God not only chose now within the seed of Isaac, God chose Judah, and God gave Judah the land. Now this fell out by lot. You know what that means? Let me interpret that for you. By the sovereign hand of God. It wasn't just casting lots. God knew who was going to get what, and he fixed it to where it turned out that way. So Judah got the land that includes Jerusalem, and especially Mount Zion. Mount Zion is, I don't know if you understand this or not, but if you take a look at Jerusalem, where the Dome of the Rock is, that area is Mount Zion. All of Jerusalem is not Mount Zion, but just that area where the temple is. And then Jerusalem being included in the city itself. So God chose Judah, and God chose Mount Zion. And look at the last two words here. He loved Mount Zion, which he loved. How about that? Now, there were thugs and thieves and people that had been injured from their tomfoolery who lived in Jerusalem when David took over as king. But he had them cast out and took over the city himself. Actually took over Zion himself. And then the city expanded to what it is today, to being the city of Jerusalem. So God loves the tribe of Judah, and God loves the hill called Zion. Let me ask you something. Let me help you here just a little bit. Do you love the place you live? If you don't, you need to let me set you down for a few minutes.
Amen.
In all honesty, and I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm a full-grown human being. But we get in the airplane, leave the airport there in Florida, and fly up here. And as I begin to see the hills and then the mountains, as they begin to develop on my sight, tears had come to my eyes. I spent 50 years in Florida. I miss these hills every day of my life. I love this part of the country. And I'm honest with you, every time we come back into this area, we'd normally land at Elizabeth, and sometimes because of the weather, we'd go to Johnson City, Kingsport. Well, went to Johnson City too. You talk about landing on a piece of whatever. But anyhow, this part of the country is a beautiful part of the country. I love it. I love it. Does that help you to understand that God has some places that he loves? And you know why God loves Zion? Because that's where the temple was going to be. At this point in time, no one knew that. But now here it is. God chose not only Jerusalem, he chose Mount Zion where the temple would be.
Amen.
Now tonight, there's a Muslim mosque sitting on the place where the temple was in days gone by. Don't be surprised if that disappears, because that temple's going back.
Amen.
But this time it's going to outstrip Solomon's temple. Remember, and I don't need to get off this because I got some things to say yet. But let me say this right quick. Remember when the children of Israel came back out of Babylon? When they came back, they began to lay the foundation of a new temple for worship. And the scripture says that when they laid the foundation, the old men wept, but the young men shouted. Now, what was the difference? The old men remembered the majesty and the size of Solomon's temple. And they were crying because this was not going to be anywhere near what Solomon's temple was. And the young men had never seen Solomon's temple, so they were rejoicing. We're going to have a place to worship now. I guess it has a lot to do with what you've seen, huh? Hello? Psalm 78, we need to move on down to verse number 70 now. He chose David. He chose David also his servant and took him from the sheepfold. David was a shepherd, and God took him from being a shepherd and made him a king. Only God can do that. Take a poor old shepherd and make him a king. Give me Numbers chapter 16 and I'll go to the New Testament. And he spake unto Korah. Now Korah is one of the children of Israel of the tribe of Levi who wasn't actually a good guy. Okay? I won't spend time to deal with that now. He spake to Korah and said unto his company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will shew who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him, even him whom he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him. Now this deals with the calling and the work of the priestly family. Korah was of the priestly family, but Korah wasn't the high priest, but he wanted to be. God chose the high priest. I could stay there for a week. God chose the high priest. God chose the one that was to represent him before the people. I spent an hour talking to a young man yesterday morning, Benny and I, and just saying to him, God chooses and puts people where he will. Let me just show you one of the questions. One of the questions was, what if a man is called to preach? What if that man basically isn't qualified? You see, I dealt with this in the college classrooms, and I mean hell broke loose. We're talking about fisticuffs. And the only statement I made was this: your belief as to this truth is based entirely on your past experience. Now the text says that the pastor is to be the husband of one wife. If you look that up, that husband of one wife means a one woman man. Now if my wife dies, then I'm free to marry again. And look at me, I ain't gonna live by myself. So she may as well be going ahead and looking for me some good-looking woman. As a matter of fact, she told me a long time ago, I know what's gonna happen. She said, when the folks walk by to see me in the casket, you're gonna be measuring them up and seeing if they think. I said, honey, who thinks I'm gonna wait that long? Anyhow, the question was, if he's not qualified. I said, son, if he's not qualified, he's not called. Amen. Now, let me say that one more time. If he's not qualified, he's not called. Amen. Don't think that God doesn't know what he's doing. Amen. God doesn't call a man that's not qualified. That book plainly states, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. Amen. He then is to be the husband of one wife. One wife. How on God's earth Can a man have his mind on heavenly things dealing with more than one woman? Now, girls, I love you, but my soul before God, I love her, but she's got Johnson in her to the bone. And a whole lot of Simmerly to the bone. And sometimes she can be as contrary as I am. All right, let me get by this. I'm playing with you and playing with her too. But the fact is that God's man must meet God's qualifications. Otherwise, he's not God's man. Did you hear that? He's not God's man if he doesn't meet God's qualifications. I was preaching in a church just south of where we live up there a few times. They were looking for a pastor, and I told them I'd help them a little bit if I could, but I wasn't interested in being their pastor. So I preached for them a few times. And I asked a boy the other day how things were going. He said, "Well, Brother Lay," he said, "some of the folks just got to where they wanted a pastor so bad that they called this guy that wasn't qualified." I said, "Well, hey, you stepped your foot in the bucket in doing so." Listen, let me tell you this. If God institutes a church, he has a man to pastor it. Amen. Just put that in your pipe and smoke it and keep that with you till the day you die. That's so. All right, I'm moving on now. I want to come. As God chose Israel as a special people, so God chose us as a special people.
Amen.
You believe that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. It is amazing to me when I remember and God brings back to my memory the fact of Jesus' prayer in John chapter 17. Seven times in that passage, he refers to those that thou hast given me.
Amen.
This is a precious thing, folks. Salvation is not a walk down the aisle and a hit through the baptismal pool and a shake in the preacher's hand. Salvation is making us a part of the household of faith.
Amen.
God's little youngins. And God gave us to his son. And his son went to Calvary and died to redeem us. And made us his own. He knew who he was dying for. He knew whom God had given him. And he's praying before the crucifixion in John 17. And seven times in that little passage, he refers to those that thou hast given me. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 4, we're chosen. Chosen. Put that up for me right quick. Let them see this. Here it is. It's already here. According that he hath chosen us in him. Now watch the next little phrase, will you? Before the foundation of the world. Well, I didn't know that was in there. Well, now you do. Now you do. God never does anything after. He always does everything before. God has never had an afterthought. Therefore, he never does anything after the fact. He's always done it beforehand. And when was that? Paul's greeting the folks and so on and so forth and let me read the whole thing. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Next verse, and we'll go to that. These shall make war with the Lamb. That's the ungodly outfit that's part of the Battle of Armageddon. Those that come against the church and the Lord Jesus at that time. And the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful.
Amen.
I like that word chosen. You're chosen.
Amen.
To be a part of the household of faith. Let's stand together.